Good morning. Welcome to South Haven Christian Church. It's good to see you this morning. If you didn't get a bulletin, there's some out in the foyer. Please help yourself to one. If you're a guest in our church today, there's a silent roll call card that you can fill out. It's a blue piece of paper like this, and you can put it in the offering bucket on when it gets passed. There's also a sign-in book, a guest book in our foyer that you feel free to sign that. I would like to begin with some of God's word, and I'm reading from Psalm 40, 2 and 3. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. If you'd like to stand and join us in singing, Lord, reign in me.
Sunset sky, but my one request, Lord, my only aim, is that you reign in me again. Lord, reign in me, reign in your power over all my dreams. In my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. Sunset sky, my one request, Lord, my only aim, is that you reign in me again. Lord, reign in me, reign in your power over all my dreams. In my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in again. Lord, reign in me, reign in your power over all my dreams. In my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. Won't you reign in me again?
Lord, won't you reign?
Won't you reign in me again? Won't you reign?
Take some time to meet and greet each other.
Jesus reigns.
Thank you.
As you make your way back to your seats, please remain standing and join us in singing, Whom Shall I Fear?
Darkness fills the night, it cannot hide the light. Whom shall I fear? You crush the enemy underneath my feet. You are my sword and shield, though troubles linger still. Whom shall I fear?
Prepare our hearts for prayer. Sing with us, Every Knee Shall Bow.
Death for all of us, everyone will know. Some prayers to share. One is who gave it to me? Al, I don't know who gave it to him, but it's prayer for Deborah Roche. Needs prayers for wisdom, strength, and knowledge for witnessing to co-workers and guests at work. So this Deborah's one witness to, yeah. Prayers for co-workers to resist drugs, temptations from the evil one, and coming to the family of God. So this, she wanna pray for co-workers, Deborah Roche, which is Barbara's daughter. And continue praying for Chuck Turner. He's getting better, but still up north and again back till September, I guess, what I hear. And the Gundersons, Larry and Eileen, Rick Savage, I was talking to Jude, and he did pretty good yesterday, did much better. And Bill Grimes, doing good, Bill. Good deal. It's a praise God for that. And Robert Scheffner's nephew up north, that is, his name is John, he's in the hospital, and I guess his blood, and it's only 20 now. Yeah, so halfway. Need to be 40 before they come out of the hospital. So we need to pray for John. Yeah. And I was talking to Dale Allen, and he said that he find a doctor to work on his teeth, but the doctor that takes insurance that he has, but the only problem is that that he's going to have to stay awake. They're not going to put him out to do all the work, and it's going to be hard. So that we know how much pain it is. We get one tooth working on, much less the whole, everything he's got. So we need to pray for that. And pray for his grandson, Max Allen, that, we prayed before that he's got a fever and, haven't been able to sleep. And, definitely need to pray for Max. We didn't see Joey see the hit again today. I imagine Lauren is still he's still not feeling well, so we need to pray for Joey's wife, Lauren. So let's go to God in prayer and ask him for his help. Lord God, we thank you that we can come to you and ask for your help, Lord. We thank you for each one that's here this morning, Lord. Each one that walks through the doors is a blessing that we're able to do that. We could be at home sick or somewhere else that suffering, but we're able to be in your house, so may you touch each one right here this morning, Lord, and help us, give us strength and give us health to go on every day in our life, and whatever we work or do other things, just be with us and give us the wisdom and knowledge and strength to be able to make it day by day. We thank you for watching over us, and we do pray for the ones who are sick. May you touch each one, the name that we mentioned, Lord. We pray for Deborah Roche, that you give her the words to share to the co-workers so they can get the strength from there and believe in you and get the power and the strength from you for them, Lord, to resist drugs and other things that is not good for the bodies. Be with Deborah and give her the words to so she can explain to the co-workers and so they can get close to you and draw to you and ask you for the wisdom and the words. And we pray for their salvation. As she mentioned, she wanted them to come to you, Lord. So we pray for all the Deborah and her co-workers. May you bless them and watch over them. Lord, we do pray for Chuck Turner as he's up north. Hopefully he's coming back in September, which is a little bit over a month. So be with him and be with Larry and Eileen Gunderson. As we know, they get older day by day and things change on their lives. So be with them and help them to make it day by day, Lord, and give especially Larry strength on his feet, his legs, and so he don't fall, and Lord, give him a peace on the mind. And also pray for Rick Savage, that you continue to be with him, and as he have a good day yesterday, so we pray for more days like that. We thank you for Bill Grimes, that is doing much better, and he's recuperating good and feeling good. Lord, it is a blessing that he didn't have any side effects from the trouble that he went through. So we thank you for that. We pray for John, Robert's Shepton's nephew, as he's in the hospital, his blood count's got to come up before he be released. So be with him and help him to recuperate all the blood back and be to the normal level that it needs to be so he can go home. And Lord, we do be with Dale Allen as he go to the doctor and endure all the work that's going to plan to do in his mouth. But Lord, just help the doctor to do his best and to take it easy and to may Dale will be okay at the end, that may not be as bad as we think it could be. So we pray for the best, but you be with Dale and any doctor. And at the end, that Dale would feel good again and don't worry about this problem that is got with Steve, and may you bless him on that. Pray for that. Mac, Max Allen is here. Have a fever, which is a Dale's grandson, fever, and can't been able to sleep. Lord, just touch the little baby, and as we know that he's been having health problems and since he was born, I believe, right after, and he's getting along well, but this what's have now is really discomfort for him. So touch him and help him to recover his health and be back to where it needs to be, Lord. And we put him in your hands. Be with his mom and dad and just bless the whole family. And, Lord, just thank you that we can come into you and ask for your help and just your blessings on him. We pray for our Lord and Sita. Yes, we miss Joey again. And we know that his body is with heart and taking care of her as much as he can. So we pray that soon they're going to be over and may you be with them and give the strength that they need at this time. Pray that we may see him next week. Thank you again, Lord, for your love. Thank you for today. Thank you for the, giving us waking us today and to see another glorious day that you have made for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Generation, we are your. this isn't a time for levity and all, but I want to explain something. Due to the problem I'm having, and I don't know why, and the doctors and dentists haven't quite figured it out yet either, but all my fillings and so forth are falling out. Started last Sunday, June the 6th. That's a couple, 3 weeks ago. And I said, told Colleen, I think I told Mike too. I said, I think, well, I'll just go to church and keep my mouth shut. That doesn't work too well for me sometimes. This do in remembrance of me. See it on the front of the table down there? There's a sad thing happening in our Christian churches. If you've been going here very long, you've heard it from Mike and me and maybe some others. You can go in many Christian churches today. The table won't be there. Oh, we shoved it over to the side here. It was in the way. Or you hear something like, oh, if you want communion, you can step into the next room and they will give you communion after the service. You know, that just breaks my heart. That's the essence of one of the reasons, main reasons we're here. There's a reason that we have this table right here in front of you. There's a reason for that baptistry being right there. There's a reason to have this pulpit right here. Do you realize that the apostles would come together every first day of the week? And more often. But when they did, they celebrated this table and the words that Jesus, their Lord, had told them. He said, this do in remembrance of me. I was listening to a program this morning. Well, all you got to do is just ask Jesus to come in your heart, and that's it. I said, oh, gosh, I was with you until you just said that. That's not what Jesus said. You must be immersed for the forgiveness of your sins and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It breaks your heart when you see a lot of this stuff going on. When Jesus had his apostles together in the upper room, they didn't really understand what all the depth of all that Jesus was saying at the time. But he took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to them and he said, take and eat, this is my body that is broken for you. I can imagine their minds just fluttering around saying, what? You see, not only was he God, he was man. He knew what was going to happen. it was no surprise to him. He knew that they were going to take him out. He knew that they were going to flog him. He knew that they were going to nail nails in his hands and in his feet. He knew they were going to push that spear in his side. Nevertheless, he was willing to do that. Why was he willing to do that? For you and for me to be able to spend eternity with him in heaven because our sins are forgiven. They were nailed to that cross. And that was the only way it could happen, was for him to endure all that pain. Jesus did it for us. When you come around this table, do this in remembrance of him. Don't be thinking about other things. Don't be thinking, God, and I'm guilty of this too. God, forgive me of my sins. I pray that you'd be with my family. We're coming around the table right now. Let's remember what Jesus prepared it for. Do this in remembrance of me. You know what? That isn't meditation. I had it all. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Thank you for sending your only Son to die for me and for all of us. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you now and bring back a portion of what you have blessed us with. We pray now that these gifts and offerings will further your kingdom, not only here, but throughout the world. And this we ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Come on now, join with me, everybody sing. I'm gonna lift my voice to glorify my King. He is a mighty God and worthy of our praise. We give him everything, he's good in every way. Come on now, join with me, everybody sing. I'm gonna lift my voice to glorify my King. He is a mighty God and worthy of our praise. We give him everything, he's good in every way.
He is always there for us.
He's good in every way.
Pouring out his awesome love.
He's good in every way.
He fills us up with peace and joy.
He's good in every way.
He gives us all we need and more.
He's good in every way.
Come on now, join
me.
Your Bibles with you this morning. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We were in this passage last week. I'm just going to make a transition by looking at two verses right at the very end of this text that we read last week, and then move on from there. But if I can just make a little plea here. I told you last week that Wednesday night, for the last few weeks, we've been focused on end of the age theme, second coming of Christ. And this Wednesday, you know, the Bible is known by a lot of people by certain chapters. You know, if I was to ask people the love chapter of the Bible, most people would know 1 Corinthians 13. If I said, what is the faith chapter of our Bibles, or New Testaments, basically, what would be the faith chapter? And most would say, maybe Hebrews, maybe Hebrews 12, possibly. I mean, you could make a case for a couple different chapters, but that's a great faith chapter, Hebrews 12. Now, if I asked you, can you tell me the most misinterpreted chapter of our New Testament? Your brain and mind would go immediately to what chapter? Don't say it out loud. You know it. And if you don't, you need to be out on Wednesday night, because we're going to look at the most misinterpreted chapter of our New Testament, and it has everything to do with the second coming of Christ. This is why people have so many different views, so many different concepts. They have taken one great chapter, and they have pretty much misinterpreted the chapter, and have come up with their theology for the second coming of Christ from it. And I can assure you it has nothing to do with the second coming of Christ. That's the problem. And And so if you want to gel that and solidify that a little bit more, I hope that you'll be out this Wednesday as we look at the most misinterpreted chapter of our New Testament. Just focus with me for two verses here as we launch into our theme here for today. And we read last week 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Most of the chapter we read, but I want you to come down to just the last three verses. Again, this is the context here is the second coming of Christ. It's all about the events that are going to be happening, taking place. And right at the very end of this, verse 9, it says, "For God did not God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, that is when Christ returns, awake or dead, we may live together with him." Now, verse 11 is our key verse. "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as, in fact, you are doing." We'll talk about encouragement here today. The mother of a 15-year-old son by the name of Douglas became increasingly worried when her son's temperature kept rising until it was almost 105 degrees. Doug was quickly taken to the hospital where blood tests revealed for the first time that he had leukemia. Then Doug developed pneumonia, and for 10 days, his mother stayed with him right there in his hospital room. The doctors proceeded to tell Douglas that for the next 3 years, he would have to undergo chemotherapy. He's 15 now. He would go bald and probably gain weight. Learning this, Douglas became even more discouraged, although he was told that there was a good chance if he started immediately that he would go into remission. But he was smart enough to know that leukemia can also be very fatal. On the day of his first chemo treatment, after waking up from a nap, he then said to his mother, "I thought you get flowers when you're in the hospital." And upon hearing that, the mother called to order an arrangement of flowers. The voice of the sales clerk was high-pitched, and she sounded very young to the mother. And the mother imagined a very inexperienced sales clerk who would be totally unaware of the arrangement's significance. And so the mother said, "I want the planner especially attractive. It's for my teenage son who has leukemia." "Oh," said the sales clerk, "let's then add some fresh cut flowers and brighten it up just a bit too." When the arrangement arrived at the hospital, Douglas was feeling just strong enough to sit up in bed. He opened the envelope that was with the arrangement and read the card that was from his mother. But then he saw another card. His mother said, "Oh, they must have made a mistake. That probably goes with another arrangement." Douglas removed it anyway and opened it. And the card said this: "Douglas, I took your order today. I work at the flower shop. I had leukemia when I was 7 years old. I'm 22 years old today. Good luck." My heart goes out to you. Sincerely, Laura Bradley. Douglas's face lit up. For the very first time since he had entered the hospital, because he was inspired. He had talked to so many doctors and nurses, but this one card was the thing that made him believe that he might beat leukemia. Interesting, this story was reported to the Chicago Tribune by Bob Green. Mr. Green said that when he went to speak to the sales clerk who had written the note to Doug, here's what she said. When Douglas's mother told me that day that her boy had leukemia, I felt tears coming to my eyes. It reminded me of when I first learned that I had leukemia. I realized what the boy must be going through. I wanted him to know that you really can get better. So I wrote the card and I slipped it into the envelope. I didn't tell anyone. I hadn't been working very long at the flower shop, and I was afraid that I might get in trouble. It's funny, wrote Green. Doug was in a hospital filled with millions of dollars of the most sophisticated medical equipment. He was being treated by expert doctors and nurses with medical training probably totaling hundreds of years. But it was a sales clerk in a flower shop who, by taking the time to care and by being willing to go with what her heart told her to do, she gave Douglas hope and the will to carry on. Celeste Holm wrote, "We live by encouragement and we die without it. Slowly, sadly, and angrily." If there is one thing that is much needed in our churches today, I believe it is encouragement. Here in our text, we're challenged and reminded to do that until the day Jesus returns, to encourage and to build up one another. Our churches are full of people who are terribly discouraged. I would even suggest in a group this size, as small as you may think this group is, there are probably some, if not more than some here today, who are discouraged with the way things are going in your life right now. For some of you, things are not going well in the workplace. Others are discouraged with their marriages or by the way your children behave. Some are discouraged because they can never make ends meet financially. Others are discouraged because of bad health or health issues. Elders and deacons and Sunday school teachers get discouraged. Even preachers get discouraged in ministry. It happens over and over again. And so I thought that perhaps, as we've been focused on the second coming of Christ, and here we're in a text that tells us that we need to be doing this, I thought maybe we could focus on this topic here this morning. Let's look closer at our text so that we might learn what it means, actually, to encourage one another and build up each other in the Lord. And so there are two questions that we want to answer here today. Let's look at the first one. What is an encourager? What is an encourager? Perhaps one way that we can answer this question is by indicating what an encourager is not. You know, again, you may think that that's a simple question with a simple answer, but hold on for just a minute. For example, an encourager is not one who talks bad of someone else behind their back. There's no way in this world that you can fulfill 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, that we've read now, if you are tearing a person down behind their back. There's just no way. Of course, we try to justify our comments many times by saying, well, that's just the truth, though, about that person. That's the way that person is. Just thought that maybe you should know this. Well, to tell you the truth, I don't want to know. And I'll go on record again to say that if you can't tell me something good and positive about my brother or sister in Christ, then just guess what? Just keep it to yourself. Please. I'm in the ministry to encourage and to build up. All of us should be in that kind of ministry. And my rule of thumb in this area is if someone comes to me and says, have you heard about so-and-so? I try to stop them right there because it looks like they're going to share something that maybe I don't want to hear. But I do try to stop them if I can right there. And I ask, what are you going to tell me? Is it good and positive and uplifting about this other person? And if not, guess what? I don't want to know. And if you do share, you need to be careful in how you might share that. I would tell you if it's negative and not something that builds up, I would tell you to keep it to yourself. I'm convinced that if more of us had that kind of attitude here in the church, we would have far fewer problems, I think, within the church. Years ago, there was a preacher who became very discouraged. His wife had died unexpectedly, and there were many problems in the church where he ministered. And one night, the preacher was listening to a radio preacher. His message was very encouraging, and he called to ask if he might have an appointment to talk to that radio preacher personally. The request was granted, and he was able to spend a long time visiting with that individual. In telling about this visit afterwards, he says, when I went into his office that day, all the stars had fallen out of my sky. But one by one, he began to put them all back in the sky. And that's what an encourager is. He is someone who puts the stars back in the sky. More than that, an encourager is someone who gives us the courage to keep on keeping on. In other words, to not give up. Sometimes this kind of encouragement can come only from the Lord, I believe, but sometimes it can come from us in how we might approach a situation. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, we read of how David came to Ziklag after the Amalekites had burned the city to the ground and had taken everyone in the village as a captive. And the Bible says that when David and his men realized what had happened, they wept out loud until they had no more strength left to weep. Two verses later, we read this. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. David remembered that God was with him and that And that encouraged him, you see, on this moment to keep on keeping on. While God Himself provides us with encouragement, He most often uses, I think, His fellow Christians to encourage us. We are commanded over and over again, I think, in the Bible to encourage one another and build each other up in the Lord. We've read one of those passages here in 1 Thessalonians, but let's look at a couple others. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, I'm going to look at verse 21 and 22. All right, Ephesians 6, 21, 22 says, Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant of the Lord, will tell you everything. Paul's writing here. He will tell you everything so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. Key verse 22. I'm sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage you. That he may encourage you. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2. Again, Paul's writing here, but notice what he says in verse 2. He says, we sent Timothy, who is our brother and God's fellow worker, to spread the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith. There it is, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith. You see, an encourager is also one who helps us to be faithful to the Lord regardless of what happens in our life. Barnabas was that kind of man, I believe. His very name means son of encouragement. He was the one who encouraged the Christians at Jerusalem to accept Paul as a member of the church. You know, when Paul first became a Christian, they all knew him as Saul. They didn't want to have anything to do with Saul. And Barnabas says, no. He's one of us. He's a brother. You need to accept him. We need encouraging. Barnabas, I think, was responsible in that area. Turn over to Acts. Acts chapter 11. Chapter 11, look there at verse 22 and 23. It says, news of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem. What news? The news that there's something going on at Antioch. Some spiritual things are going on. And so they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. Paul's here too. That's why Barnabas needed to be there. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, we all are instructed to be ministers and encouragers. Turn over to Hebrews 10, 25. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And so there's a very clear passage of trying to be ready and prepared when the Lord comes back. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, turn over there, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 11 and 12. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. All right, so over and over again, we have passages that are talking about this kind of encouraging that needs to be taking place. An encourager is one who tries to be present when a person needs that encouragement. I like the story told about Sam Rayburn, who was Speaker of the House of Representatives longer than any other man. One of his friends lost a teenage daughter, and early the next morning, Rayburn knocked on his door. "I just came by to see what I could do to help today." The father replied that there was nothing to do. "Well," Rayburn says, have you had your coffee this morning?" And the man replied that they had not taken time for breakfast. While Rayburn was working in the kitchen, the man came in and said, "Mr. Speaker, I thought you were supposed to have breakfast at the White House this morning." "Well, I was, but I called the president, told him that I had a friend who was in trouble. I wouldn't be there today." Yes, are we that kind of encourager? Will we drop things to help someone who's in need? Let's recommit ourselves here this morning, folks, that with God's help, I will not speak bad of a brother or sister in Christ if I don't have something good and positive to say, or to build that person up. I'll say nothing. I will do my best to help put the stars back in the sky of each person that I try to encourage. That's who an encourager is. Now let's look at the second and final question here this morning. That is, how can we be encouragers? General William Westmoreland was once reviewing a platoon of paratroopers in Vietnam. As he went down the line, he asked each of them the same question. He says, "How do you like jumping, son?" "Love it, sir," was the first answer. "How do you like jumping?" he asked the next. "The greatest experience of my life, sir," said the second paratrooper. "Well, how do you like to jump?" he asked the third. "I hate it, sir," he replied. "Then why do you do it?" asked Westmoreland. "Well, because I want to be around guys who love to jump." You see, I want to suggest that if you want to be an encourager, then you need to be around those kinds of people who encourage. If you spend a lot of time with people who are negative and pessimistic, who tear down people instead of build them up, then the chances are that you'll be maybe more like them. But if you spend time around people who are positive and motivating and cheerful and uplifting, I think that you'll find over time, if you spend a lot of time with them, that it rubs off. You begin to be just like that person. How can we be encouragers? Well, we live in a day where technology is way ahead of me. I swim these days because I'm just not up to date, I know. But in my day, and I still rely on this, I think sending letters or cards of encouragement. I'm just thinking now, encouraging text, Instagram. There's things I just don't know how all of it works, but I know people send instantly things to someone on the phone. My son's been sending pictures pictures from Montana. You know, Glacier Park up there. Every picture looks like a postcard. But he says, I took the picture. I took that picture. You know, I'm always saying, wow. It's interesting, when he first went there, it was just sunsets and rivers and mountains and glaciers. And now he sends those pictures and I see all those things. And then in the foreground, I always see two women. Two women in the foreground and all the thing in the back, you know. And he's met some people out there. And I've seen him baptize people already, several baptisms. I heard today that he's baptizing a friend that he's made out there today. That's encouraging. That's a technology, you say, I'm not really up on, but it's nice to be able to see a picture of a baptism. Moments after it happens. Moments after it happens. Just baptized my best friend. Wow. Pretty encouraging, I think. It's interesting, the card that Douglas received from the florist was a card of encouragement, because she was trying to encourage Douglas to keep on keeping on with his chemo for 3 years. When you receive cards that you don't expect, what does it do? It motivates you. It encourages you. It allows you to say, wow. A telephone call to someone to encourage them, or just to tell them that you appreciate them, does wonders to build them up. When was the last time that you thanked maybe somebody that has had an impact in your life? Let me tell you, those phone calls to those people, especially if you're referencing things years ago, still are so meaningful and encouraging to people who sacrificed and gave up things in order to help you maybe years ago, and you still remember it. Sometimes just a hand on the shoulder, coming up and put an arm around somebody, or whispering something to them that encourages them, really, really helps. Gail Allen called me this past week, and then I encouraged him to call the church so I would have the name and phone number. I was glad to hear what happened. I'm going to share that with you. Dale says, I was walking my neighborhood. You know, you've been talking about neighborhoods, and I have. And he says, you know, I was walking my neighborhood. Dale, I know I'm maybe embellishing a little bit here, but he kind of said, I walked my neighborhood, and I realized that one of my neighbors has been missing. And then I started asking around. And I heard someone said, another neighbor, I think she's in the hospital. Really? Now, as I'm hearing this story, I would say that's where most of us just stop. You know, it's a neighbor, it's in the hospital. Okay, I'll pray for that person, and we just let it go at that point. You know, Bill had no real deep personal relationship with this. It was just a neighbor, someone that he knew of. But he was missing this person. Hadn't seen the person in quite a while, actually. So he did what few of us do, and that is he followed up. Got a name, Got to have a name, a last name. Called a hospital. And found out, the day he called me, he found out that she had been in the hospital for 43 days. 43 days. Wow. Now what do you do with that? You do anything with it, or do you try to follow up? Now, I'm not sure what Dale has done from the moment he's called and shared with me, but I'll tell you what I've done since he shared that with me. I don't know this person from Adam, and she's not my neighbor, but I have knowledge that she's been in the hospital for 43 days. So I call her this morning. I know her name, because Dale gave me the name. And she responded immediately. I said, I would like to speak to Melinda. And she says, you have Melinda on the phone. And I said, you don't know me, but I know one of your neighbors. Which one? And I said, Dale. Oh, Dale Allen, yes. Now, again, I don't know what Dale's done, but as soon as I mentioned his name, she knew who Dale was. That's nice to know that neighbors know each other. And I said, well, if you don't know, Dale's a member in the church where I minister, and he shared that information, and I just want to call and let you know that we're going to pray for you today. I mean, you can hear the breath. Oh, really? Yeah. That is so nice. That someone would pray. Yeah. A few of us are going to pray, and we're going to pray that you get out of that hospital. And I referenced it. I said, Dale said you'd been in the hospital for 43 days. How many more days have you been in there? What's your total, right? And she says, I've been in there 45 days, and I've left. But I'm in rehab now. So she starts the clock over. 45 days in the hospital. Now she's in rehab. And she says, I'm going to be here for a while because I'm so weak. Well, we're going to pray. We're going to pray you get out sooner than later. Thank you. Oh, it's so nice. So nice to hear someone that's willing to pray. I said, would you have a moment? Can I pray with you right now? I mean, you can hear the voice, the breath. You'll pray right now? Yeah. I'm going to pray for you right now. That's okay. Pray. And I prayed with her. I think I put at least one star back in her sky. She was encouraged today. Now, we don't do this all the time, and we all have neighbors, and they all have special needs, but today we're talking about encouragement. So, obviously, I can't just let it die. That's why I've told you what I've done, and I'm going to do my due diligence. And I'm going to tell you that in the foyer, there's a little sheet of paper in several different places. Has Melinda on it. Has 45 days in the hospital. She's out of the hospital, but in rehab right now. And a phone number. Now, if any of you care to put another star, maybe, back in her sky, give her a call. She's very pleasant. Very, very nice attitude, I think, about all that's going on in her life right now. Very appreciative that a neighbor took the time to even share the information. And I think she believes in the power of prayer. I really do. And so if you're of the mind or you have a little time and you want to do a little star gazing and put a star back in someone's sky, you can do that today. It will be someone you don't know, which I think even adds to the excitement of this situation, because sometimes when we know people, we just assume some things. And when you don't know somebody and you do it, you hear how it's processing sometimes. They're saying things to you that you would never have heard maybe from a friend, but from someone that's not a friend. See, your friends sometimes assume you already know certain things, and so they don't say things. Very positive things, that how they're reacting or how they're feeling in this moment, that someone that they don't even know took the time to call. And if you're not one to call, we can find out. I was not familiar with this rehab, but we can find out the place where she is, and if you want to send her a note, we'll get that, and or you can do it. You can do your due diligence and call Dell or call me, and you know, and we'll do our research real quick and find out where this place is, and you can send a note if you wish. That's up to you. And yes. Yeah, I was unfamiliar with the name, so I don't know exactly, but like I say, if someone, if someone would like to do more than just that phone call, you can. That's interesting how you can do that. All right, encouragement. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9 through 11, emphasis on verse 11. Encourage one another and build up each other until Christ returns. That's our challenge of the day, and I hope that we'll be that encourager and find opportunities to play with some stars and put some stars back into somebody's sky. Because you got to know that lots of stars have fallen for lots of people. And if you're aware of that, that's where you come in. And that's what God is calling us to do, especially with brothers and sisters. I think that's true of people outside, but it starts right here at home. And it starts with our knowledge of where people are and if they're hurting, and can I be an encourager to them. I've said this before, and I'll close on this thought. There are a lot of members of churches, not just our church, but lots of members and lots of churches who say, well, I really don't need to be a church today, preacher. You know, everything's going well in my life, and you know, I'm solid on the Word, and I understand the grace of God. And I always want to look at them and say, yes, that's true, and that's true, and you're right. But you know, you may not think you need to be there, but God may need you there because someone needs you. You may not need anybody, but maybe God has you on tap to be there to help somebody. You never know. And I would just encourage you, no pun intended here, I would just encourage you to be there with your ears open. Because God may be speaking to you to help somebody. Not that you're going to get the help, but for you to give the help to a person that needs that word of encouragement or that arm or that phone call or that note or whatever it might be. You know, I think of that sales clerk. Did she see that one coming? She just took a phone call. But as soon as she heard in that moment that someone had leukemia, she reacted because she had it. She knew what that boy was going through. She could not only sympathize, but she could empathize. And she did something about it. And he was encouraged. Yes, big time. As we come to our time of invitation, there may be someone here that's outside of Christ. And each Lord's Day, we do extend an invitation and an opportunity for anyone to make Jesus Lord of your life. If you need to do that today, we invite you to come as we stand and sing our hymn of decision. Being here today, sharing with us. In the bulletin, there are a number of announcements that I hope that you will take note of. You will know that, or note that there is no petition in your bulletin this week, but they will be in the foyer. They'll be in the foyer for a number of weeks now, where you can just pick up one or two or more. I was encouraged when someone left last week and they said, oh, I took a handful of these. Yeah, because I know that there's somebody that I can give these to. And that's what it's all about now. If you filled yours out, thank you very much. I know we're over 35 of these thus far. And we'll be sending a batch now, and we'll keep on collecting them. But just know that 30 seconds to fill it out and a second to mail it if they just hand it to you, because all you have to do is bring it back, put it on the table, and we will mail it. We'll get it to the right people on time and in time for whatever needs to be done. So keep that in mind. This is all about the Human Life Amendment in Florida. Some people keep asking, is that nationwide? No, it's not nationwide, unfortunately. It's only in the state of Florida. It only goes into Florida's constitution. And so, but let me tell you, Florida and California and New York, some of these big states, Texas, you know, when something happens in those big states, then sometimes it catches on. And others are encouraged by it, because there's so many more people in these big states that the smaller states just kind of say, well, if they can do it, we can do it. We'll have to see if we can pass something like that. So we're a trendsetter, I think, here in Florida, and I do think Florida is still more conservative than meets the eye. So I hope that maybe we'll see this on the ballot, and I hope it passes in Florida, because I believe sanctity of human life is dear to God's heart. He wants us to do everything within our power to protect human life. Unborn and seniors. Those are the two that are being attacked right now, and we need to watch out. If you haven't picked up your new directories, you can do that. 48 hours, I think, has passed, so if you got something that needs to be done now, you know, if you've caught someone, someone didn't wait 48 hours, you messed 48 hours. 48, but 48 hours is over now. Some of you were probably good on this, and that's good. And now I'm open to receiving any suggestions, any changes. We will not print another directory, but we will make the change in the computer, so next time it is printed, it will be there, and we will try to maybe get it in the bulletin that you need to make a change in your directory. We got a bad phone number, we got a bad something or other, and we'll start in doing our due diligence to try to get that to you. But some of you haven't even picked up your directories. You know how I know? Yeah, the mailboxes still look white. You know, when you put this many directories in boxes, it turns white, you know, and it's still more white than dark. Dark is the directories have been taken out. The box is dark, but lots of white boxes still. And so you need to check your directory. And then on the table or out in the foyer, there's several places where we've stacked up a few extras. Some of you say, well, I need one for my car. I do. I need one for my car and one at home. So if you need an extra one, we'll keep replenishing those little stacks until we think everybody has what they need on the church directory. Thank you, a lot of you. It was overwhelmingly, almost 5-1 on the dates. And so the next Unforgettable Sunday has been selected. It will be October 17th. October 17th. I just hope that that will be, especially with plenty of notice, will be a Sunday that every member will try to guard it if you can, and try to work around it if you can, so that we can have every member present on that day. Failure is not an option. That is the theme for the day, and I think you will be pleasantly surprised how that's going to all work into the spiritual emphasis of the day. But you'll be getting more info and things that you can use to pass out and share with people if you wish. Our men went fishing yesterday. We always like to keep you updated on a few of the activities. Linton Senior gets an honorable mention because he drew first blood. He caught the first. It was a bass, wasn't it? Catfish. He caught the first fish, and it was a catfish. And so we give him honorable mentions for bringing in the first one. But Bob, Chico's going to say I caught the most because Chico caught three more after you left, Bob. But you know, it was when we were all together. He did go to another pond, and when we were at the one pond, Bob got the most fish, and Chico got the largest, and a lot too. But he got the largest there, and so we had a fun day at the ponds. Actually, we went to two different ponds that were close, and one was Adolph's pond, you know, and it had never been fished by us, and so it brought some memories back, and just remembering our brother and Chico telling us a little story of how the pond had to be dug for the dirt and things like that.
As I say that, men, today's our leadership meeting at 5:00 by home. Maureen has set the bar. She keeps raising the bar. You know, last week
you gotta be good.
Last week it was 14, and then she tells me today, no, it's 15. And then she, out of the side of her mouth, says it really should be like 16 and 17. And she's trying to include you. were you in the meeting? Okay, that's all I need to know. Yeah. He wasn't in the meeting, though. You can't try to claim him. And he's a man.
He's our official mascot.
Oh. Mascot. Maureen's laid down the gauntlet. She says there's more women than men that are in these Bible studies. And she does have a point to make. So, men, I'm inviting all of you. I think we had seven last month, so if we're going to even get close, we've got a double the number that we had last month. But we're in a good Bible study, talking about our faith and building our faith. And when our faith is being tested, what do we do? And so I hope that you come out for that. Bring some money, because we always will get dinner afterwards and fellowship, and it's a nice evening. And that's tonight, 5:00 at my home, man, if you're interested. So, hope you'll be there. All right, what other announcements do we need to make here? Yes, right? Yeah, please.
Last week I asked you to pray for Josh and Stephanie Bricker, a family that had COVID. And Stephanie and the boys are better, but Josh is off the heart-lung machine, but is still on the ventilator and still very serious. So, they're in their 30s. She's the one of the teachers at the Christian school, Knights Christian Academy, which meets in the building at the church where I work. And so please keep the Bricker family, Josh especially, in your prayers, because he's needed by mom and the boys, and he needs to get better.
All right. So, Lord, improve it there. Maybe you can give us a name and a phone number.
Okay.
Something. I think that would be nice. I think Gail was telling you, you knew that family from the school.
Yes.
Where you teach.
And one more thing about Belinda Nordheim, she is on Facebook. So if you find that an easier way to encourage her,
okay,
you can look her up on Facebook.
That's certainly not me, but I know a lot of you are on Facebook, and that was my point in the sermon. We got a technology that many of you are using, and it's immediate, it's instant. Maybe some of you can follow up on that. Yes.
Such a small world. Bess, the lady that runs our Bridge of Hope from the Urban Ministries, she asks us all if we can pray for that same family.
For that family.
Yes.
What's the connection there? Just a friend?
She knows.
Just knows it.
Okay, yeah, so they're known in the community, so let's keep that family in our prayers. All right, anything else? Yeah, Barbara?
Next Sunday, CIA at La Fiesta.
All right, we didn't have a sign up last week, and we actually had the wrong place even last week, so that's official, La Fiesta. There is a sign up in the foyer now, so please, if you're planning to go, please sign up. They usually try to call and give them heads up so that they're just better prepared if it's a very large group versus a smaller group. So help us to know. Please let us know if you're bringing someone as well, because in the total numbers, that is what they need at the restaurant. So keep that in mind as well. What else? Anything else? One wants. Let's think.
Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this beautiful Lord's Day, this opportunity to be in your house with your people around your table, and I'm glad we're able to talk about something that is dear to your heart, encouragement. You want us to be encouragers. May we be that this week. May we find opportunities to put a star or two back in someone's sky by just letting them know that we're thinking about them and that maybe we're praying for them in some way. And I just pray that we can be known as a church that encourages big time. When the chips are down, we can always be there to help people in their time of need. Be with us now as we depart, and protect us from the evil one. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's close with this closing chorus.